Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight was born with bad eyesight and was declared legally blind at age 14. Since 1997, he's been the director of the Michigan Commission for the Blind, and as such, is a leading voice for disability rights and advocacy. A huge baseball fan, he's gone to over 600 Tiger games, 45 Tiger openers, and had the honor of throwing out the first pitch on Tiger's opening day, 2005. His name, Patrick Cannon. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Pat Cannon, the director of the Michigan Commission for the Blind. Pat, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Okie dokie. Jack, I was born on the northeast side of Detroit with lousy vision, and my vision got progressively worse over the years, and I was in my early teens when an optometrist told me and my folks that I was already legally blind and someday would be totally blind, so that caused me to abandon my dreams of being a truck driver. My parents were terrific parents, and I learned a great deal from each of them. My father, unfortunately, died when I was pretty young. I was 14 years old when my father passed away. And I had many, many good years with my mom through the years, though.
What's the biggest thing, Pat, you learned from your mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
My mom had a terrific work ethic. The work ethic that I have, I think I got from both of my parents. Both of them had a very, very strong work ethic. My mom was a waitress for many, many years around the Detroit area. Later, she cleaned offices, she worked in a plastics factory, and did some domestic housekeeping. She was a delightful person to be around. She had, as I mentioned, a good work ethic. She was sensitive and caring. And I think, foremost, she was the least judgmental person I've ever known. And I think that's the one quality in her that I most admire. My father also had a great work ethic, and he introduced me to many things as a boy growing up. It was with him that I saw my first live music show. It was Webb Pierce and Red Sovine at a union hall when I was about 10 years old. And for most of my life, I remember him working two jobs.
Where did you get your fantastic love for baseball, Pat Cannon?
Well, my first game happened in the summer of 1955. My father and I had been on a trip to Missouri to visit relatives, my aunt and uncle, and I had lots of aunts and uncles and cousins in Missouri. When we came back to the Detroit area, he still had a couple of days left on his vacation, and he said, "How would you like to see a Tiger game?" And I said, "Sure." Up until that time, I had listened to baseball games on the radio occasionally, and sometimes we'd catch them on TV. But once I went to that Tigers-Yankees doubleheader that Sunday afternoon, I was hooked. It was Al Kaline's rookie year. Tigers won both games of that doubleheader. Al Kaline hit two home runs, and we won the nightcap when Earl Torgerson, the Tigers' first baseman, stole home.
45,000 people, Pat, in Michigan are blind. If you would, tell us what it's like to be a blind person.
I think it will probably vary for different people. Over the years, Jack, I've become more comfortable talking about my story as a blind guy growing up in Michigan, not because my story is special or unique, but rather because my story is probably more typical of what a lot of people go through who lose their sight gradually over a period of time. For me, growing up in the Detroit area, I started school with lousy vision. I wore glasses. My eyes were badly crossed. And between the thick glasses, crossed eyes, and being a chubby kid, then I got the nickname of Fatty Four Eyes, which wasn't real good for self-esteem. For badly crossed eyes, they tried something in those early years that seemed like a good idea at the time. that they would put a patch over my better eye, thinking that it would cause me to use my poor eye or my weaker eye more and effectively strengthen the muscles. It didn't have that effect at all. Rather, it just caused me to withdraw more, and because I could see very little out of my left eye. And I was 8 years old when I realized that I really couldn't see things the way other kids did. We were out in the backyard on a nice summer evening, and my sisters and cousins were talking about the stars in the sky. And I've never seen stars in the sky. To this day, I've never seen that. So that was a real indicator at age 8 that my vision was considerably different than what other kids have as a usable vision.
Since 1997, you've been the director of the Michigan Commission for the Blind. Tell us about that organization.
The Michigan Commission for the Blind is one of two public rehabilitation agencies in the state. About half of the states have a separate agency serving the blind, while there's a general rehab agency. In our state, it's Michigan Rehabilitation Services, or the general agency, and the Michigan Commission for the Blind is the public vocational rehabilitation agency for individuals who are legally blind. We restore hope, and I think those three words probably summarize best what we do. When a person is new to sight loss, they tend to think of how awful it's going to be. They think of all the things they couldn't do. They think the sky is falling, the world's coming to an end. By visiting with these individuals early on as they are facing sight loss, our skilled counselors can help them understand that if they give us a chance to work with them, to allow them to learn what we call the skills of blindness, they can get on with their life and do just about anything they want to do, and they'll ultimately learn that it's okay to be blind.
If you want to learn more, www.michigan.gov/MCB. www.michigan-gov/MCB. Of your 115 people, Pat, 30% of them are also blind. In a way, they're probably the most effective.
We have a terrific staff, Jack, at the Michigan Commission for the Blind. As you mentioned, close to a third of our staff are blind themselves. And we think that it's helpful that we can say to the employer community that we practice what we preach, that we recognize that blind people have skills and abilities, and we demonstrate that belief by employing individuals who are blind. The greatest problem facing blind people in Michigan and America today is not the loss of eyesight itself. I've been blind for a long, long time, and I can tell you that blindness in itself is no longer a big deal to me. I didn't wake up this morning and say, dang it, blind again. Blindness is not the big deal. What is the big deal is the perception and misunderstanding on the part of many, including many employers, who believe that blind people simply can't do what other people do, who believe that blind people can't do things as well as sighted people can. And what blind people in this state want, Jack, is not a gift or a handout. We are not asking for a job that we can't do. We just want a chance to compete for jobs on the basis of our ability and demonstrate that we can perform effectively and that we can be good workers in the workplace, do effective work, and help serve people well.
We're talking to Pat Cannon. When we come back, we'll ask him what he means about, quote, the skills of blindness. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Pat Cannon, who's been a leading voice for disability rights and advocacy for decades. In the first segment, Pat, you talked about, quote, the skills of blindness. What do you mean?
Well, as I said earlier, people who are blind can do just about anything they want to do and could do just about anything that sighted people can do, although we have to learn how to do them in a different way. One of the critical steps that need to be taken in order to achieve that level of proficiency and independent living is to acquire the skills of blindness. And that means learning how to travel independently and safely with the use of a white cane or a guide dog. I have used both at different times, not at the same time, but I've had 3 different guide dogs in my young life. For the last several years, I've been traveling mostly with a white cane. And whether a person uses a cane or a guide dog is strictly a matter of personal choice or preference. either can be terrific mobility tools and allow a blind person to travel through their environment safely and effectively. Other skills of blindness include alternative communication techniques, learning to write using Braille, which, as you know, is a series of raised dots on the page that allow us to read tactily what others may see in print visually. We use adaptive software on computers. If a person has some usable vision, they may benefit from using what's called large print software, where the print on the screen is enlarged. Since my vision has diminished to a point where I see nothing but shades of gray, many years ago I started using what's called screen reader software. And there are many manufacturers of various software. I use a version called JAWS. And when I use JAWS, I hear a synthesized computer voice, which tells me audibly what is seen on the screen visually. Other skills of blindness is learning how to function independently and effectively and safely in a kitchen or a wood shop. At our residential training center in Kalamazoo, that's where our clients go to learn the skills of blindness. Our clients go there as residents and stay anywhere from several weeks to several months. They learn some of these skills of blindness, including functioning in the kitchen and in the wood shop, and in many other kinds of skills that allow them to compete effectively in the workplace and in the community.
Pat Cannon, what have 14 years as the director of the Michigan Commission for the Blind taught you?
That it is okay to be blind. I think the more I work with the commission and I see the good work we do with individuals and how we can help turn their life around, it is very, very satisfying. Jack, we have an outstanding staff, individuals who are blind, some sighted, all of whom really care deeply about providing quality services to our blind clients. Our staff recognizes that blindness in and of itself is not a tragedy and know that by working with our clients, we can help restore hope for them so that they will recognize that it's okay to be blind and get on with their life. And it's the sensitivity and the quality and the commitment of the staff that is very, very empowering to me. And further, I think when I have occasion to visit with our clients one-on-one at our training center or elsewhere in the state, it's very satisfying to hear them talk about how much a little bit of investment in the dignity of their independence has really helped them get on with their life.
President Clinton appointed you to serve on the U.S. Access Board for 8 years, and you were that board's chair in 97 and 98, being the first blind person to chair that board. What you've achieved, Pat Cannon, in spite of your lack of sight, is phenomenal. How have you done it?
Well, first, I've been very fortunate, Jack, to be in the right place at perhaps the right time, as they say. I've been fortunate to have opportunities to demonstrate the truth that we believe that blind people can do just about anything they want to do. I've had three very different careers, 13 years in radio broadcasting, 10 years as a staff person in our state legislature, and for the past 25 years since then, I've been in the executive branch of state government, and I've been very, very fortunate to be in those situations. So serving on the U.S. Access Board was quite a joy for me because it was a little different from what I usually do in my daily work. Before I came to the Commission for the Blind, I was the director of the Commission on Disability Concerns for 10 years, during the years when we passed the Americans with Disabilities Act, and during the years when we sought amendments to the Michigan Persons with Disabilities Civil Rights Act that frankly gave Michigan the strongest disability rights law in the country. So accessibility was a big part of that effort. And the U.S. Access Board, whose full name is the United States Architectural and Transportation Barriers Compliance Board, the only federal agency with more letters in its name than they had staff, is the independent federal regulatory agency that sets design standards and accessibility standards for the built environment. It's a 25-member board with 13 members appointed by the president as public members and 12 federal agency members, and it was my privilege and honor to be appointed by President Clinton to the Access Board in May of 1995, and I said I served on the board for 8 years, and it was a joy.
Pat Cannon, if a listener tonight has a young son or daughter with a physical challenge, and they're wondering whether that child can be great, what do you say to that parent?
Absolutely. And we urge the parents and the whole family and others around that young person to focus on their abilities, not only looking at the disability itself. I think that's the greatest service we can do to anyone with a disability is look at all the things we can do and recognize that the disability is just one characteristic of who they are. For example, I've never been tall, probably never will be, Jack. I still have dark hair. I have a salt and pepper beard, which is becoming more salty all the time. I'm right-handed, not left-handed. Those are all characteristics of mine. And for that young person with a disability, that disability is just one characteristic, and we need not let that disability define who he is or she is, but recognize that it is just one aspect of their total person, and that in that total person, a variety of skills, intellect, and abilities.
I've often heard that when a person loses one of his or her senses, their other senses become much stronger. Talk to us about that.
It's a very, very common misperception about what happens when someone, for example, loses their sight. People think that I suddenly have a super sense of hearing or touch or taste. That doesn't really work that way. What does happen is as we lose one of our senses, we begin to pay more attention to the information we get from the other cues. For example, if I'm going to the Meridian Mall in Okemos looking for the cookie shop, I don't look for the sign that says cookie shop. I follow my nose to the smells of chocolate chip cookies that they're baking. Unfortunately, in that mall, it also happens to be located next to a hair salon, so it's an interesting blend of fragrances.
You're also a comedian, too, Ted Cannon. I hope Tom O'Brien's not watching, listening to the show tonight. I might be out of here, and you might be the new host here. Attitudes are more important than facts. That's a statement. And you're a living example of that. Talk about attitudes being more important than facts.
Well, somebody once said, and I've heard it many, many times, and I'm sure you have too, if we hear a person saying that he thinks he can, and we hear another person saying, I think I can't, history tells us they're both right, because if you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think you can find a way to get it done. So attitude really is critical. And when I say we restore hope, that is, I think, one of the greatest services that we can provide for a young person who's dealing with sight loss or an older person who loses their vision later in life, has helped them understand that it's okay to be blind and life goes on. And with a little bit of time with us at the Commission for the Blind, we can help you still realize your dreams, retain your independent living in your home and your community, and be all that you want to be.
We're talking to Pat Cannon, a.k.a. Norman Vincent Peale. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Pat Cannon, who was born with bad eyesight and was declared legally blind at age 14. Pat, a lot of people believe in God because of what we see. Why do you believe in God?
Because I believe the Creator creates all that is. And I've been blessed with many, many gifts in my young life, and I'm very grateful for that. I have on my list of gifts many things that have helped me be successful in various different ways. I think the greatest of the blessings is a terrific family and kids and grandkids. On my list of gifts and blessings, 20/20 vision wasn't on my list, but many other things have been.
If God let you see for one day, how would you spend that day, Pat Cannon?
Playing catch with my kids and my grandkids. That'd be my first priority.
And what position would you play?
Oh, I'd like to think that I could play all of them by then.
Speaking of which, you've attended 45 Tiger home openers and well over 600 Tiger games, even though you haven't seen them. Describe the experience of being blind and attending a baseball game.
Well, for me, Jack, it helps to have a good memory. As I mentioned, my first game was in 55. We were sitting in the upper deck grandstands at the old Tiger Stadium with Al Kaline playing right field below us. And I still have those vivid memories in my mind. And the following year, 1956, I attended over 30 games at the old ballpark. And I can still vividly recall the joys of walking up the ramp at the ballpark and getting that first glimpse of green grass on opening day. And there are many visual elements of the ball game that I still have a good memory on. But in addition to what we see visually, there are so many other senses that are tweaked at the ballpark. like the smell of the hot dogs that are cooking, and the crunch of peanut shells under your feet, the sound of the crack of the bat, and the sound of the crowd. So lots of things to tweak all of our senses at the ballpark. And as my vision diminished over the years, I still continue to go to ball games and still continue to go to this day and always will, although I cannot see what's on the field anymore. A good play-by-play person like Van Patrick and Ernie Harwell and many others can paint a picture with words that allow me to see in my mind what he is describing that's going on the field.
Reggie Jackson once said, and I quote, "Blind people come to hear Tom Seaver pitch."
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
If you remember, Tom Terrific, as he was called, had a very powerful fastball, and the sound of that fastball hitting the catcher's mitt was a sound to behold, if you will. And the Tigers, of course, have had many great pitchers over the years that made similar sounds, like Jack Morris and many others.
You've had the honor of throwing out the first pitch in the Tigers opener on 4/5/2005. What
yes.
was that like?
Well, first I need to quickly add that it was a strike because Sonny Elliott said so. Having attended opening day games over the years, we knew that the ceremonial first pitch on opening day was a big deal. It used to always be the governor and the mayor would be the battery making up that ceremonial first pitch. And over the years, as I worked with Governor Granholm more closely, it was at a cabinet council meeting in March of 05 when I was making a presentation to the cabinet council about some accessibility issues. And I mentioned at the beginning of my comments, "Governor, I hope you're getting your arm ready. Opening day is only 3 weeks away." After my presentation, I was walking back to my chair, and the governor started walking alongside me, and she said, "Pat, I want you to throw out the first pitch this year." And I said, "Governor, I've not picked up a baseball in 25 years. And she said, "You could practice." So I did, and I did, and it was quite a kick.
Who's the best player you ever heard play baseball?
I was pretty partial to Ted Williams, although I had some Tiger favorites. My big favorites over the years for Tigers were Ray Boone, Bob Shaw, Frank Leary, the Yankee killer. A lot of great Tigers over the years. I was a big fan of Lance Parrish. Ted Williams is sort of in a class by himself, and I was still in high school when, for the first time, I got my first Ted Williams autograph, and that was a big rush because it was very hard to get his autograph in those days. I would wait around the Boston Red Sox clubhouse, visitors clubhouse of the old Tiger Stadium, and the Red Sox players would start to come out, and there'd be a throng of kids around, and without fail, they'd come out and they'd say, "Ted Williams is right behind me." Well, we learned from experience that they lied, because Ted Williams wasn't right behind me, and wait and wait and wait and never come out. Finally, I put two and two together, and I figured out that often Ted Williams was taken out of the game in later innings, and Vern Stevens would go in to play left field for him. And I figured out, I said, "I bet you that he leaves the ballpark before the game is over." And there was a Monday game when the Tigers were walloping the Red Sox 18-3, and Ted Williams, sure enough, was taken out of the game in the fifth inning. I left my seat, went down to the visitors' clubhouse at Tiger Stadium, and I was the only person around the clubhouse door, and I could hear his voice in the locker room complaining to somebody about all the walks he got on this road trip. So I figured that I guessed correctly. He soon came out, and that's the first time I got his autograph.
Who's the best pitcher you ever heard?
That's a tough one. Jack Morris was a terrific pitcher and a fabulous competitor. And I hope that he gets in the Hall of Fame. He's missed it so far. But when you had a really big game, he's one of the ones that really knew how to finish a game. And he was a bulldog, and I hope he gets the recognition that he is due. Other great pitchers, of course, over the years, and people like Bobby Gibson, Don Drysdale, Sandy Koufax. Bob Shaw was a favorite of mine. Bob Shaw and Ray Boone played for the Tigers in 58, and they were both traded from the Tigers to the White Sox in June of that year. And the following year, Bob Shaw led the Go-Go Sox to a championship, and they played the Dodgers in the World Series, and Bob Shaw beat Sandy Koufax.
Talk to us, Pat Cannon, if you will, about what Ernie Harwell did for blind people through the years.
he really had a knack for painting a picture with words so that you could visualize in your mind the kinds of things that he was seeing on the field. He had some old standby that he always would say, like, if the batter took a called third strike, he'd say he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched that one go by. Or he would say a guy from Bad Axe caught that foul ball. He was very colorful, very animated, and it was a joy to listen to Ernie's descriptions. I go back further than that, though, Jack, and recall when Ben Patrick did play-by-play for the Detroit Tigers. And he did it very, very well, and I was frankly, a little disappointed when Van was let go from that position to make room for Ernie Harwell, and it was all because of a beer sponsorship that caused that change to take place.
You were recently in a movie.
Yes.
Entitled Bleacher Boys. Ernie was also in that movie.
Yes.
Talk about that experience.
A documentary filmmaker from Boston named Karen Hunter, who is the founder of Rose Mountain Productions, decided she wanted to make a documentary about how and why blind guys enjoyed going to Major League Baseball games. And out of the blue one day in the spring of 2006, she called me and said she got my name from a Free Press reporter and when she was looking for blind guys that went to a lot of Tiger games. And she came out and we talked, and to make a long story short, Jack, she wound up featuring five blind guys from different parts of the country, including two from Michigan, Neil Freeling from Oakland County and myself, both from Michigan, and other folks from Chicago and Seattle and Boston and New York. And this documentary is, I think, very well produced, and it tells the story of blind guys and their love of baseball, but it also is a story that puts blindness in perspective and helps create a pretty good picture of what blindness is and what it is not. And as the documentary portrays, all of these individuals have been able to achieve success despite their blindness because they were allowed to feature their abilities and people around them looked at the kinds of things they could do and didn't look only at the sight loss.
We're talking to Pat Cannon, and as you listen to him, you realize his recall of dates, etc., is phenomenal. His wife, Janelle, who's also blind, refers to him affectionately as Rain Man. And I'm Jack Grisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Pat Cannon, and since 1997, he's been the director of the Michigan Commission of the Blind. Pat, how are your Tigers going to do this year?
Well, as an eternal optimist, I'm thinking they're probably going to go all the way and we'll be seeing World Series baseball at Comerica Park this October.
Just an aside, in the preview issue of Sports Illustrated that came out a couple weeks ago, a fella, Jeff Greenfield, wrote a long article about what if. And the article is, for Cubs fans, what if that Steve Bartman didn't touch that ball? And they would have won against the Marlins, and then they would have gone to Yankee Stadium, et cetera, for World Series against the Yankees. Pat, everybody should read that article because that terrifically tells you about Cubs fans. Fabulous article.
And it's all about hope, Jack. You know, I talked about the Commission for the Blind, and I think of us as restoring hope. That's what's terrific about baseball. It's such a wonderful sport and a terrific common denominator that helps bridge all kinds of things that may otherwise separate people, whether it's gender, ethnicity, race, economics, or whatever the situation might be. When you start talking about baseball, it bridges all of those gaps and brings people together. And while we all had the joy of the Tigers championship in 68 and 84, I think among the more exciting times for me as a Tiger fan was in those years when we're working toward the championship, particularly thinking to the mid-70s when we had people like Steve Kemp and Jason Thompson, and then along came Trammell and Whitaker and Mark the Bird Friedrich working toward achieving success. And those years is when we really had hope for the future, and it all came to fruition with the 84 World Championship season. But working up to that, I think, is a good reminder that, as in many things in life, the joy is in the journey.
And baseball also is fabulous through the generations, where a grandfather teaches a grandson, dad teaches a son, et cetera, to love that organization through the decades. Paul W. Smith often says, each day is a gift. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Pat Cannon, about cherishing each day.
That's why it's called the present, because it is a gift. And I think the older I get, the more I learn to appreciate each day. I remind myself of that. I remind my wife of that. And whether it's little things, like just saying, thank you very much for this, that, or the other, and I may even add, I don't take this for granted, you know, I really love it. I thank you very, very much. And none of us knows what tomorrow holds, but we know that today, the present, is a gift, and we owe it to ourselves and the people we care about and love to make the most of that day. And I think the Commission for the Blind helps restore hope for blind individuals so they too can recognize the gift of each day and in time learn to put the loss of sight into perspective as just one aspect of who they are and recognize they have a lot of good things in life to be satisfied with, to be happy for and appreciative, and life is good.
Pat Cannon, you've been in government service for well over 35 years, and the animosity between the two parties today is unbelievable. You've worked for Republican governors, Democratic governors. Why should a young person consider public service today?
It's an honorable calling. It's an opportunity to give back, to take your skills and abilities and your energy and channel those or funnel those in a way that helps change lives in a very positive way. I'm very grateful to be working at the Commission for the Blind. It's a terrific arena to work in, working with terrific people who have the common goal of helping to improve lives for blind people. And there are, of course, many other types of service in state government that provide similar opportunities, and that's a very admirable calling. Over the years, I've had sort of a love-hate relationship with politics. I love it for all the hope that it brings, and sometimes less than love it because of the disappointment that sometimes follows. But politics is, I think, a fascinating thing to observe and maybe even be a part of. But I have no interest in seeking elective office myself.
What are your dreams, Pat Cannon?
To continue helping to change lives for people in a positive way, to realize the dreams of my kids becoming grandparents, to dance at our granddaughter's wedding, all the things that give us joy in life on a regular basis. I want to continue that for as long as we can.
What are you the proudest of?
Oh, many, many things. I'm proud of my parents. I'm proud of my kids, my wife, the opportunities we've had to make a positive impact. In Lansing, I'm the treasurer of the Capital Area Transportation Authority. It's called CATA. It's a public transit system that has twice now been identified as best in America. There are a lot of good things we're doing in government service to improve lives for blind people, and I hope that people recognize the good things that government does, because there are many things that government does that the private sector cannot do or will not do, and it's an admirable calling to be working in public service.
These last few years have been transformational times, a lot of adversity. And no doubt there's listeners tonight that say, wow, this man embarrasses me. Full of hope, positive, optimistic, grateful, and I'm depressed. What do you say to those people?
Hope. I think everyone can make those choices in life, whether they choose to view things positively or look at them negatively. I think we can always find goodness in the people around us, even when we are at odds with individuals in our thinking or philosophy, or maybe have different approaches to how to get from point A to point B. If we can focus on what their intent is, and almost always we will recognize that their intent is often not a great deal different from ours. We all want to help improve lives for each other and for everybody, even though we have different ways of getting from here to there. And the chance to impact in a positive way is quite a gift. As he said, each day is a gift, and that's why we call it the present.
People that know you well say you're not only Rain Man, you're also a natural great leader. What makes a great leader, Pat Cannon?
First of all, in our agency, we recognize that leadership can come from everywhere in the organization, and I think it's sometimes a disservice to many when we think that only people in positions of authority or management can demonstrate leadership qualities. We think that leadership needs to be everywhere in successful organizations, and we define the Commission for the Blind as being a leaderful organization because we have people who show their leadership qualities in many ways every day throughout the year.
Are you optimistic about America's future?
I am.
In what way?
There are so many advances that we make. One of the things that we could do a whole show on, Jack, is technology. Technology for the blind and technology generally. I often say to people who are new to sight loss, saying, if we are going to choose to be blind, the 21st century is a good time to experience it because technology has gone such a long way to help level the playing field for us so that we can be all that we be, all that we want to be, and do all the things we want to do.
Last question. What advice, Pat Cannon, would you give to our young listeners this evening?
If we're talking about a young listener who may be facing sight loss for his or herself, or perhaps see it in their family, recognize that the loss of vision or another disability is just one aspect of that individual, and that life goes on and that we have an opportunity and we have a choice. We have a choice to make. Are we going to get on with our life and set this aside and put it in its proper perspective and get on with the life and do all the things we want to do, or are we not? I think the choice is easy.
Patrick Cannon, a true inspiration to everyone that is fortunate enough to meet you.
Thank you. Keep up
the great work. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohoma.